But I thought about the scripture when I could see me asking that question. And I could see the scripture where in Isaiah that Jesus read when he got up in the temple. And he opened the scroll up and it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach. Jesus knew he was anointed. And I had a little hard time with that after I got saved, you know, believing that I was anointed until I got in the Word. How many knows the Word will transform and change you? It'll transform your thinking. And once it transforms your thinking, it'll transform your heart. It'll transform your heart. See, faith don't come from the head. That's how come a lot of people know the Word of God and got no faith in God based on it. Because faith don't come from the head. Faith comes out of the heart. And even in Romans, it says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Not with the head, and not just with the saying, but with the heart. Then with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. And how many knows, the Lord told me, he knew that I didn't believe that I was anointed. You know, he knows our heart. He knows, he can see inside our heart. And so he told me, he said, go get the scripture where Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He said, and I want you to say that over yourself because Christ is in you. See, he lives in you. Jesus is in you. He is the anointed one. We're not anointed of ourselves. We're anointed of him, by him, through him, because of him. I mean, that in that anointing, the Bible says in Isaiah, that the anointing is what destroys yokes and lifts burdens off of us. It destroys yokes and it lifts burdens off of the anointing. And so it's in us. The anointing, we're anointed. We're anointed just like Jesus was anointed. He said, great things that I'll do, but greater things that you'll do. Because I ascend to the Father. He said greater things that we would do because he ascended. And he sent us the same Spirit that raised him from the dead. He sent him. He's the Holy Spirit. And he lives in us. He leads us and guides us. And then he takes the Word of God as we are students of the Word and keeping our mind. I'm talking about a sound mind. See, children that live with their parents that has a good home and they're stable and all that stuff, they're sound, their mind's not all jacked up. You know, everything, that, because their mind ain't thinking survival. Their mind is not thinking that. They don't think about the light bill, whether it's going to be paid or they're going to have groceries or anything like that. I'm talking about in a good home. You know, they're stable. Their mind is stable. One thing, like Aubrey, her mind is about five below. she wants to Google see if there's a five below on vacation down yonder. She wants me to go. There's nothing wrong with that. She's a dreamer, right? But you know, if her mind was just unstable all the time and didn't have no vision for five below, that would be. See, we're not to be like that as a Christians. You know, our mind is just unstable all the time. But Satan knows that. Satan don't want you to have a stable mind. He don't want your mind sound on the things of God. He don't want your mind sound on, I have already overcame in Jesus. You know, I smoked pot for a lot of years, and I got born again. And even before I got born again, Travis was born, and I held him in my arms, and I'm like, man, he can't know me that way. Because I knew, you know, when you're stoned, you're not in your right mind. I mean, I watched snowflakes one time run through a pasture fence, just ripped it off the road because I was stoned and tripping. Got my attention. But anyways, I thought, he can't know me like this. And I couldn't quit. I just could not quit. I got born again. And it was just like that was gone, man. That's it, you know. And but anyways, over the years, you know, Satan. I mean, even when I went to Tennessee for a few days, there was a marijuana shop there, I thought, hey, man. I told Teresa, I said, there's a marijuana shop. I said, I think I'm going to go. She said, you ain't going in there, are you? I said, well, no, I ain't going to go in there and buy no marijuana. I was tempted. I'm up in Tennessee, you know, just get a little buzz. You know, just get a little buzz. Y'all won't know nothing about it. Which I didn't think that, but, you know, I make my own choices. I don't make my choices based on y'all. Right? Now I need to consider y'all and all of that and what I do and all of that stuff. But you know what? What I'm saying there is, you know, Satan, after 30 years, comes every now and then, just get you a joint. It don't hurt nothing to mellow you out, man. You know, everything's funny to me. When I was stoned, you know, it was funny and everything. And I told her, I said, nah, I had her by the hand. We just walked on, you know. And I told Satan later, I said, listen, you didn't even, that wasn't even a temptation to me, sucker. I said, I chose not to go in the marijuana shop. You know, I mean, I smoked cigarettes for a lot of years, and I threw them out the window as a Christian. I mean, I threw them out the window, a whole carton at a time, and then I'd get about 4 or 5 miles down the road, and I'd go back and get them. I'm telling you, man, them things just whipped me year in the ministry, loving Jesus, you know. And I mean, whipped me year after year. And so my point to that is, every now and then, he don't tempt me with cigarettes. He said, get you a cigar. Just smoke a cigar. You know, just get you one of them little fine, whatever they are. That dude that works for us, he smokes cigarettes. Every time he lights one up, not every time, but most time I'll say, whoo, that smells good. I mean, cigarettes smell good. And that don't if you've been marinating in it, you know, for 3 weeks. But you know, and he'll try to tempt me. But see, we got to have a sound mind, you know. And so I'll tell him, I'm not going back. I'm just not going back to that sucker. You know, I finally overcame the flesh in that. I was free from that when I got born again. And I don't get on anybody or do you know that does that, because as Christians, the closer we get to the Lord, the freer we want. We want to be free from things. It's just that way, you know, because the Bible says, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." But a lot of our overcoming and freedom, we have to renew our mind to the Word of God, that we get revelation from the Word of God by the Holy Spirit inside of the anointing and the freedom that we're in. Because, see, everything that tries to hold us captive, you know, is a tool that Satan can use. Whether it's fear or food, I mean, it don't matter what it is, really. It's not just one little thing. And because of that, you know, it affects everything that we do. You know, Brad preached one time in his preaching, and he preached about, I think the title was Vice Grips, you know, something down the lines of Vice Grips. And he talked about triggers and things in our life, you know, that Satan has an opportunity to put Vice Grips on us in those areas, you know. Not wanting us to be social, not wanting us to, you know, do different things. But the mindset. So what we have to do is take the Word of God over there in Romans, whatever you want changed. I don't care if it's fear. I had a problem with fear and anger. I was an angry guy, you know. But anyways, concerning fear, I took the scripture 1 Timothy 1:7 after I read it, and it said, God did not give me a spirit of fear. When I read that, I thought, man, I'm not supposed to be afraid of anything. Afraid of losing my wife. Jealousy is fear. If you're jealous of your boyfriend, I mean, girlfriend, your husband, your wife, jealousy, that is not jealous. That's based out of fear. Wants you to compete. Satan wants you to compete. Satan wants you to be competitive, you know. And so I know that. I was in bondage to that. And I took that scripture, 1 Peter 1:7, over storms. And I've never really been scared of man, you know, in any way. Just the mindset I had that bigger they are, harder they fall. See the mindset? Just that mindset. But when it comes over to the kingdom over here, see, Paul didn't have a mindset as I can't, even he's in prison. He wrote, he said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Paul said it this way too. He said, I'm free to do anything that I want to do, but all things are not good for me to do. You know, all things are not beneficiary. You know, but having a sound, how many knows it's critical to our faith to have a sound mind? Having a sound mind, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. You know, concerning just cigarettes, I said that for 8 or 10 years as a Christian. I know we're quiet. Don't get all drawn back. Stay in faith. Because God's going to take us from faith to faith and from glory to glory, one level of freedom to another level of freedom. Even little side hit cuss words we say. No, y'all quiet. Somebody shout or something. Say amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Woo. Why don't we say bless the Lord? Bless the Lord every time. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I'm bad about it. Something at church and I'll say a bad word. Not a real bad word. You know, using God's name in vain is really a cuss word. Talking about God's stuff and don't mean it and all that, that's vain. That's worse than the four-letter cuss words. But Satan wants us bound to a lot of these habits. I'm not talking about, I mean anything. Habit of saying a little cuss word every time something don't work out on the job. No, it won't kill you, but it's a bad witness. It's really a bad witness to people around us. Hallelujah. But faith is our victory. Put that scripture up there, Beth. First John 5:4, I believe it is. Whatsoever is born of God, that's me and you, right? That's everybody that's give their heart to Jesus. And look, we don't need to condemn ourselves when we're not where we want to be. I mean, if you condemn yourself and let Satan condemn you, you won't get free. You won't get free of what you've already been freed from. Because we already been set free from everything that can hold us bondage after we're born again through Jesus Christ. But sometimes a process takes place of the renewing, regenerating. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, the Word of God. So what I mean by that, see, our flesh didn't get born again. We got born again on the inside. And, you know, and so whatever we was before we got born again, Satan wants to keep us bound to that. He wants us reverting back to that. You know, reverting back to anger. He don't try it as much on me now, but I walked year after year and failed and got up, failed and got up, failed and got up, failed and just wouldn't quit. Repented and got back up and now it's kind of tough to get me angry. But it should be impossible. It should be impossible for anything or anybody to get me and you angry. It should just be impossible, you know. But you know, if we're selfish and got our mind on ourselves and things that pertain to us all the time, let me tell you something. You are going to get angry because everything is not going your way all the time. I mean, God sends you on. I mean, He sent some of you to this church and you've been through a little bit here. He sent me to this church and I've been through a little bit. You know, but I'm like you. I am determined to stay in the will of God and do the will of God, regardless of how I feel or how it's injustice or how, you know, I feel about things or whatever. And because I realize something, that God called me out of the world, called you out of the world into His kingdom, and we are to bear the image of Jesus. How was He? I thought about the scripture today and I used it myself. years ago and still today. He said, come unto me, ye that labor and heavy laden. He said, and I'll give you rest. He said, take upon you my yoke. He said, my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. But what meant something to me was the next part. He said, learn of me. Learn how I am. He was telling me at that time, probably about 30 years old. Learn how I am, and then you will find rest for your weary soul. A lot of them preach it as lost people, you know, to get people lost, and then you can use it for that. But that's not just talking about lost people there, you know. He said, learn how. He said, I'm meek. I'm lowly. I'm humble at heart. See, humble people get God's grace. You know, people that are humble, gentle, you know, laid back. You know, like my pastor, man, I never seen him get upset or anything, you know. I'm not saying he didn't, I don't know. But you know, I was like, man, I want that in my life. I told God one time, I said, God, I would like to have a double portion of the anointing that my pastor's got. It wasn't that I seen him raise the dead or anything. I mean, it wasn't. It's like he was just laid back, just seemed like nothing moved him. Seemed like you couldn't get him mad or anything, get him upset or anything. I was in the meetings. I was in some of the meetings where if I'd had a pistol, I'd have shot a few of them while I was in the meetings. He was the pastor, and it was a pretty big church, pretty big congregation, and things went on in the meeting. So I saw some of that, you know. Then I saw him set his foot down and say, not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. And I've seen people quit the church on account of it because he made a choice that he didn't feel like God. Wasn't nothing ungodly. It was just people wanting white carpet and white dresses, whatever the case. And I thought, man, people quit God over that. They quit God over cheers, over instruments and music, over I'm not off on all that. I wouldn't get my mind on all of that. I kept my mind on the Lord, and I didn't judge none of them, and I thought, hey, you know, if you got to take the low road, that's your choice. But we're going to take the high road, and I'm standing with this church, and I'm standing with this pastor, and we're going to take the high road. See, there's a low road, and there's a high road. And that high road is the highway of God. It's not always the easy road. You know, I've been a Christian a little while, and I actually thought that when I got enough faith that I wouldn't have no problems. See, Satan wanted me to believe that. And so I was never going to get enough faith, Johnny. He won't believe that. And then I began to read in the Bible. See, you need to be a student Bible. Meditate on the Word all the time. Think about the Word all the time. Day, when you lay down, night, think about the Word of God. Get Scripture. The Bible says He will keep your heart and my heart in perfect peace, whose minds are stayed on the Lord. Because that is proof that we are trusting Him. That's proof. And so Satan wants your mind off on garage doors. You don't even think about garage doors unless you just pass one and say, that's what Scotty does. But whatever you are, it don't make no difference. He wants your mind on everything but God, Satan does. He wants your mind on Iran. He wants your mind on the, you know, Muhammad, all of that coming up. They serve another God. I just told, that guy that's lost and worked for me, and he'll get started on this. He listened to them iPods, them whatever they are, podcast. He listened to them podcasts. I listen to the Lord and the Word. You know, and anyways, I was telling him a little bit about them, that Allah that they serve, we are Antichrist to them. The United States of America. And their ideology is, this is Satan. This is the way he is, and they follow him. See, he wants to be in every home, Satan does, in the world. He wants in every home on the planet. Well, their ideology and their statements, and they voice it now, they're in the United States and Texas and Moses and Alabama and different places, and they're not afraid anymore. They're coming out, and they say, you're either going to bow to their God, they're listening to them on the streets, even people in the United States that's converting to that religion. See, and that boy, he talks about religion, and Travis, he said, we don't, Christianity is not religion. There's a difference. We're not in a religion. We're in a relationship with Jesus Christ that died and gave himself for us and raised from the dead and called us. And so I asked him, I was telling him, I said, you're one of them. They want dead. You're going to serve that God. That's going to happen one day. But we, the church, and God said, not now, through the prophets, the real prophets. And so I told him, I said, well, I said, are you Satan? I asked him, I said, are you Satan? I know who he is. He's a son of Satan that's riding in my back seat that is not going to intimidate me one bit. I know the Lord, and I know the Word of God. And he wants to get on to all this stuff. And I tell him, I don't know about all that and what they do, but I know my God and I trust him. If you don't keep your mind set and stayed that way, Satan will get you confused. Right? I was listening to that Rodney Brown. Anybody know him? Rodney Howard Brown. He wouldn't shut his church down. God called him to preach, and he lived in Africa. And he sent him to the United States of America. And he's been around long as I've been a Christian, and I've seen him at different times, listened to him. Anyways, he went to jail because he wouldn't shut his church down during COVID. He went to jail, and I don't know what all happened, all of that. But God opened the door for him to come to Washington, D.C. not too long ago when I was listening to the sermon. And everything, and he was talking about, he said, well, he said, you know, they said, he said, I come down here, he said, and I got a motel, he said, in the hood, before I knew it was the hood. He said, I didn't know it was the hood. He said, and the next time I come down, they said, oh, you don't need to go down there, that's the hood. That's dangerous. You know, get you somewhere else. He said, and I liked it. I was, you know, not mesmerized by it, but I was enjoying it. And he said, I didn't know the fear till they told me it was the hood. He said, because what they didn't realize is where I came from in Africa over there, it's dangerous to be a Christian. He said, and I came over here. He said, I didn't fear over there after God called me. He said, I'm not going to live in fear. He said, I get death threats and they tell me about them. I guess he don't read all the stuff. He ain't got time for all that people send him. He's on a bigger scale platform than we are. Well, anyways, he said, and they tell me, they say, you know, they got a death threat. Somebody said they're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. You know, when they get a chance, they're going to kill you. He said, and I tell them, well, he said, I tell them, just send them back a message. And just come on and kill me anytime you want to. How many knows you dead to yourself if you mean that? And you believe God will protect you. And you believe if you die, if you don't get out of there and you die, you believe that you got a better place. See, we got to get rid of fear. Fear of not having enough money. You do it, start with a little stuff, little bitty stuff. I thought one time, you know, this guy, he wanted to do prophecy. He was a self-claimed prophet, you know, and And one of my brothers pastored a church, and he'd let him come over and teach some a little bit every now and then. Well, he wanted it in further. He wanted to have the service on Friday night at his church and all that, and he wasn't in agreement with it. And so my brother evidently, I didn't know the whole story, but I was going to the Blount County Jail on Thursday night, and they wanted to go with me, two of my brothers, and one of them was the pastor of this church. And I said, well, that's fine if y'all want to go. So anyhow, we go to the jail, and we come out, and this prophet's out there in the parking lot. And I'm only about two or three years old, and the Lord, and I done read about them false prophets of Baal, you know, when Elijah called on, he said, you call on your God. And I didn't know all this rigmarole. I'd got born again reading this stuff in the Bible, but God, and I mean, it's coming alive on the inside of my heart. Glory to God, what a God they serve. What a God we serve. See, I started looking at God through the Bible, that He is a God able to open up the ground and swallow up the evil, shut it back. He's a God that's able to deliver out Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of a seven times hotter oven. But I also begin to realize they went in the oven. They went in the oven because they would not bow to that God. Well, we can't bow to the spirit of fear. It's anti-God. We got to keep our eyes and our mind focused in on the Lord. I'm laying in the bed last night, and I thought, man, you know what? Maybe I need to put some boards over the door because of this media junk. Maybe I need to go put some boards, you know, across the door like they used to, where they can't just kick it in and give me time to get the gun. They'd have to come through a few boards. And then I laid there, and I could feel fear. And then I told the Lord, I said, I will not do it, Lord. You are my shepherd. So you got to know the Word of God and combat this stuff, because that's your mind. God speaks for inside of you, not your head. He'll speak on the inside, and you'll know that you need to do something. And I told the Lord, I said, you're my shepherd. I've got angels watching over me. But God, hallelujah, they can't bust in my house. Pray God, hallelujah. I've got angels. Well, you either believe it or you don't. And then when you need to combat fear in that manner, well, then you use it. You utilize the Word of God. You use it. It's a weapon. The Bible says it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God in Ephesians 6. It says, take the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. See, there is an unfeigned faith mentioned in the Bible. Eunice had it. It says, unfeigned faith that Eunice had. I think that was his aneurysm. Huh? There you go. Timothy's mother and grandmother. Paul called it an unfeigned faith. Wrote it in 1 Timothy, I think, 1 or something like that, you know. And I thought about it. What is it? What is unfeigned? So I looked the word up. And it means an unwavering faith. Whether it's the lion's den, tornadoes, Islam, government, neighbor, worker, sidekick. See, we're the righteous. We're born of God. We are the righteous. We're righteous, and we are anointed like Jesus. Not. It's kind of like I told that, and Travis told him. He said, I'm going to serve the Lord. Tell that guy, I'm going to serve here over. You get little shots every now and then. But he's not going to waver. See, you can't waver if you lose friends. You know, because, see, when we stand for the Lord and we walk in faith, we are a shining light to them. They need Jesus, whether they realize they need Jesus Christ or not. And our example, not just preaching, Monty, our example of faith in God, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did we not? The king said, man, didn't we just throw two in there? I see three in there. He said, I see one likened to the son of my... After they come out of there, he made a decree that if anybody spoke anything against their God, see what I'm saying? That example, Johnny. And I bet you Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I bet you they wasn't perfect before they went in there. I bet you they had to fight fear. I know they did. I bet you they felt like life could be over. They even said it in there. They said, our God is able to deliver us. They said, but even if he don't, we're not bowing. That's what they said. But he does. Just like Brother Adedala faced all of that stuff to get down here. We was the only appointment, I reckon, at that moment. And he's believing God to get here on time. I mean, he spent a couple of days trying to get here, canceled flights, all kinds of stuff. And he's telling them, I got to be in Bluntsville. Well, he ain't giving it no choice. He could have called me and said, I'm not going to make it. That proves to me what he is. He's a man of faith. He's a man of endurance. He's a man of anointing. And he had to fight off all those fears. Because this is one church. One guy came and Sandy, he set up to preach and he didn't show up. You remember that? I think mine and Teresa's first vacation leaving this church. He didn't show up. I didn't get no phone call or nothing. I found out sometime that morning later Sandy called me and it was terrible. And so then a few days later my pastor called and man, he was going through. I said, I don't care. I said, he will never preach at that church again. He's dead now. I said, he will not ever preach at that church again. And I meant that. He never preached here again. I don't care if you're having wife squabbles, believe God. I don't care what's happened, believe God for the will of God. And he said, well, I said, listen, I'm not judging him. I said, but I'm not going to give that opportunity again. I said, that could have hurt my church bad. I said, they didn't know what to do. They didn't know, you know, and the concern and all of that. I heard it. I heard it in Sandy's voice. I had heard to start the service off. Well, you know what? Well, later on, I had to fight fear on account of that. Well, oh, man, I better not go on vacation anywhere. I better not. Man, they don't show up because, look, I take you in your life and your family and your kids and your friends that you invite. I take it very serious when it comes to this church. I want to walk in the call. You ought to have it the same way, whether you're in ministry or not. Dedicated to the Lord. See, the mind of Satan wants to get in your mind. See, Teresa wasn't very social, Mac. And now she leads many, but she has to be around them. She has to. When the Lord told me to let her do Sunday school, she's way from what she was then. Now, I'm just telling you. She loves the body of Christ. She loves y'all guys. She loves those that's left here that we know was in the will of God. It hurts us for them, you know. When the guy just quit the church all of a sudden in ministry, and I ain't got no Sunday school teacher, I go on a fast. Because I've never considered her, and I knew why. She wasn't qualified in my eyes because of the way she was. Not that she was a bad person, she just blunt. Her name should have been Blunt Weston. Instead of Blunt Overhead Door, should have nicknamed her Blunt. So I'm on a fast and I'm asking God, shouldn't we acknowledge God and everything? Ain't that what the Bible says in Proverbs 3? That ain't just for preachers. I had to go to God and I went on a 3-day fast and I'm saying, God, send me somebody. Send us somebody. Because I didn't have nobody. And about a couple of days into it, I heard the Spirit of God in here. He said, Teresa. And I thought, that's the devil. I mean, my mind went to Teresa and I thought, man, nah. Ain't no way. She'll run everybody off, man. I mean, that'll just be terrible. You know, but I knew on the inside. And so, see, some people we think ain't qualified. Their heart's right, but they don't look. They're not processed all the way yet. Or where, you know, that's why we got to have mercy and walk in grace and humility towards people. You know, and anyways, I said, okay, Lord, you know. Kind of reminded me when God went and asked Elijah, he said, can these bones live? And he said, Lord, you know, because he's looking at some bones. And God said, prophesy. So I started prophesying over. She's going to be one of the best Sunday school teachers. And Jesus, I was saying it by faith, but I was proclaiming what God said. And I can tell you right now, she's one of the best anointed. She won't say that to you, but you know it. You glean and you grow from the teaching that she does when she hears from the, and even when she ain't heard nothing, she's faithful. She gets up there, ain't got anything. An example to y'all guys. When you do, and when God does set you on a platform, you will see that example, and you'll be like, well, that's the way it is. Why? Paul said, follow after those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You got examples. You're an example as you live for the Lord. You know, that's why I learned, and I never told Travis, never did he hear it come out of my mouth, because it wasn't faith that we can't afford this. We can't afford that. We can't afford that. We can't. Now, I said it before. We can't afford that. We can't afford to pay our lots because we're going to get a bag of pot this weekend. I put marijuana for food and lights and everything. Cut it off. We'll stay stoned, laugh all weekend, deal with it next week. It's the way I thought. And that's the way I done. You know. But he never heard that. So when he comes up under daddy, just being normal, I'm just living a life of faith. I didn't have it all planned out, you know, that I can't let him hear all that and because he'll blah, 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 blah. No, I was like, no, I can afford anything that God says. Ask God about it. If God says it, then believe him for it. Believe him to give me extra work. Believe him to give me, you know, sight, you know, things. Believe for favor. Believe for God just to give it to me. Believe to work for it. Just like this building down here. See, Christians are not supposed to be beggars. Not supposed to be looking for discounts and all that all the time, putting pressure on people, but they will give us discounts. Went to that Five Below, no, I think it was Marshall's. She said, you got an email address? And I said, why? I was paying for some shoes and stuff. I said, why's that? She said, well, she said, you can get 10. She said, if you give me an email address, she said, the next time you come in here, you can get 10 to 20% off. And I just give it to her. I said, well, just take it then. So next time I go in there, if I buy me some shoes, I'll get 20 or 40 bucks off. I didn't ask for that, is what I'm saying. That's God's favor. That's the favor of God. But see, I don't have a mindset. I can't have a house. I own it now. I was looking for a $30,000 house because I felt like that's what I could afford. And Teresa tells me one day, I know what the problem is. She said, what if God wants us to have a $100,000 house and he can't get it to you because you're thinking 30? So I thought, well, bless God, I guess I ain't got much faith in that area. So I just went out, and then I said, glory to God, whatever you want, Lord, you're my supplier. I just changed my thinking, and it changed my heart, and then God was able to bring it. Over a $100,000 house, and me and Teresa own it. Me and Teresa and the bank don't own it. And you know what? Even Satan, I'm telling you these stories, but it's about walking out your faith, hearing from God, walking out your faith, walking out the faith. If God tells you you can have something, you get it out of the Word or by the Spirit or by prophecy, whether it's ministry or natural stuff or whatever. If God says it, then you take that word just like Peter did when Jesus said, come. And he got out and walked on the water. Number one, we acknowledge God. I find that really, if I look back at it, all I'd have had to do is just grow and grow and grow, and all this stuff just comes. Grow and develop. Desire. 1 Peter 2 and 2 says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I might have been serving God 30 years, but I don't know much. And I think that way. Because if I think I know a lot, I already can't get nothing from God. But compared to God and what He knows and who He is, boy, man, I'm going to press toward that mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus, that Paul was telling Timothy. Press toward it, hallelujah. I just asked the Lord, I ask the Lord all the time, God, help me to develop spiritually so I can be a better minister at church. God, help me that I can be a better, man, I was burning it. I'm asking God to help me with that bass. And I was like, ba-bum, 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 ba-bum. I was like, man, that's good stuff. I was keeping rhythm with Monty over there, and he's burning it up. On that bass, you thought I had a steel guitar up there. I'm asking the Lord, Lord, let me walk in the anointing for that. I want to increase in the anointing. God, David played and drove back demons. And if my mind is like that on that, and yours is on that, on the guitar and the drums and the microphones and all of that, I'm telling you right now, but God, He will increase the anointing, the presence of God in this place. And I'm asking Him to increase me in the wisdom so that I'm not up here scatter barrel so much. In all of us Christians coming to church, we need to come to church. We're engaging in the army of the Most High God. We're soldiers in this army, and we're going in and we're going to do our part, God. We're going to worship You. That's a mindset. Have a sound mind concerning the kingdom and the things of God. Not saying we don't, but Satan is a master at distraction. I mean, he's a master at it. I'm up here and I'm thinking, I bought Teresa UTV, whatever it is, little Polaris, four-seater Polaris. I've been wanting to get her one for a lot of years and upgrade and blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm up here and she don't need a lawnmower. She's got a pretty good lawnmower. And I'm wanting to upgrade her. Me. And she's like, I'm not paying that. I'm like, okay. So I'm up here, right before you get up there. No, you done got up there. And I'm up there, Mac. And I thought, well, when I sell that, I'm going to take that money and then I'm going to buy her a brand new one. I'm on like that, you know. And I caught them thoughts and I thought, not in here. Now, I made an example for you just then. Trying to get my mind on that in here. In here. And so I took them captive. Ain't that what it says for us to do in 2 Corinthians 10? He said, take every thought into captivity. Cast down imaginations, what I'm going to do tomorrow or next day or whatever, in here. See, what he's trying to do is get my mind on the things of the flesh. Simply. Paul said in Romans, those that put their minds on the things of the flesh, it's called carnal. They're carnal. It brings death. But to be spiritually minded, cast that down, put it off of that stupid stuff out there and back on Him. And then we had some anointing in praise and worship. In part because of me. I can stand up there and hinder it. I refuse to get in the wrong spirit on that stage. Refuse it. I will not. I will not come to this house and get in a wrong spirit towards anybody. That's my choice. Because my mind belongs to me. And this anointing that God's given us, this Jesus, this precious anointed one on the inside of us, we're to protect it. Guard your heart, right? Because out of it flows the issue. See, He knows the scripture. Guard your heart. That's what it is. And so, see, He wants, but you know, it's easy kind of to have a stable mind in church because your mind is set different than out yonder. It just automatically is. You're going to church. That's a mindset. But when you take it to another level, you take that dedication to another level before you come to church, before you even start, pray and declare over our services. Declare over our service. Today is the day the Lord has made. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Even ministers that call themselves ministers, and maybe they are, I don't know, but they don't have a covering. That means they don't have a home church. They're just out by themselves. They're in danger. The Lord told me when I was a minister, an evangelist, then I became a pastor, that I'm to stay under that covering. Right? I wasn't a free runner. A free runner. And I stayed under that covering as an evangelist. I was called. I was tempted. I'm called. I'm an evangelist. I'm anointed by the Lord. All that's true. And I don't really, you know, the churches are a little, the service a little dry. I don't really like some of their stuff. I'm called. But I never fell for the junk. I did not fall for it because I seen Elijah tell Elisha, stop following me. He says, I won't stop following you. He didn't. And he received a double portion of the anointing that was on Elijah. And then he did greater things than Elijah did because the mantle of anointing was handed down by from his covering. That's why Satan's tried to get me to quit y'all a bunch of times. Y'all are safety to me. Why? Because we're in here together. Y'all were for me. I'm for you. We're for one another. We're like God towards one another. Right? And the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? So as you come up in ministry, don't get high-minded. Don't let that Satan get you high-minded and get you upset. You know, he had to send me. See, Mac, when I come into the ministry and realized I had an anointing, now I've laid hands on the sick and seen them recover. I've laid hands on people led by the Lord now. We're only anointed by Him and through Him. And seen them be raised off of their deathbed. That's amazing. But at that time, that never got me high-minded. That part didn't. Because I always knew that it was Christ in me doing the work. Like Jesus said, I can do nothing. And we, outside of Jesus and His anointing in us and on us for His service, can do nothing. But I had a little problem with ministers. And so I realized it later on. So, you know, I just kind of secluded myself and didn't click with them preachers and all of that stuff because I didn't agree with some of their doctrine, some of their programs at church. I didn't agree with it. And I would not implement it here. And God put it on my heart. He said, I want you to go to them meetings. And I thought, for what? where all them preachers that I didn't agree with their programs and stuff. What I'm saying here is God was dealing with that arrogance. God was wanting me to humble myself. I didn't know I needed humbled. I didn't know. Sometimes you don't know until God leads you and puts you. Some people don't know they're in trouble till they get in a good anointed church. They begin to hear the word of God, and then they begin to realize I'm not this and I'm not that, and I want to be that and I want to be that. And that anointing begins to reveal, and the Holy Spirit begins to reveal, and then he begins to lead into the freedom that we don't even sometimes know we need free from. And so I go down there, and I'm telling the Lord. I said, okay, I'll go. And then we're going, and I'm following all them preachers in there, and 1 month we'd meet at one of them's church, and next month we'd meet at the other church, and then, you know, and then going around, you know, and all of that. I thought, I'm not having a meeting in my church. I don't want to. Because they want to walk through and show off their churches and all that stuff. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. Unless you tell me, Lord. Well, the Lord told me, he said, I want you to open the door. Go in front of them. Open the door. And I thought, well, I don't know about all that, man. They're men. Open their own door. Well, see, he put me in there because he wanted me to change, Mac. Like he did you here, nursing home. Whatever. He's taking us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Freedom. He's taking us to freedom. That sometimes we don't know we're bound, and he leads us into a place to where we can see it. Then he says, come up hither. Go open the door for him. Well, when I left there, but God, I was changed. It changed me in my heart. I was like, man, it feels good honoring these guys. Honoring these guys, and I don't agree with them. Honoring these guys, and I don't agree with some of the things they do to get people to church and stuff that I won't do here. And God told me, he said, I didn't take you there for that. He said, I want you to honor things that you don't really want to honor. And then I thought about David when he put him under Saul. He put David under Saul. That tried to kill him. He tried to kill David. But David, and even David went and he slipped in there where Saul was asleep and cut his coattail off while he was asleep. He could have killed him. David could have killed him. And then he goes out and he shows it to him. And God got on to him. God got on to him for that. That was pride and arrogance and all of that stuff, you know. And so I thought about that. I thought about that while I was going and doing all that stuff, you know, down there, because it was taking my time. And I had to, you know, I mean, it's just you, when you're busy and God asks you to do something, he will ask you to do stuff when you're busy, Drew. He will. He'll ask you, Johnny, sometimes to do stuff and you think you're not going to be able to do it. And then you rely on him and his grace and his ability. Then it opens and he moves things and does things, and you'll be like, man, this is great. That's why we come and we sing, he makes a way where there seems to be no way. Some people sang it, but they've never experienced it because they never trusted him. Then there's these other ones, they're in the spirit when they're singing it. They're like, ooh. Golly, bum, man, he caused a jackknife on a truck and delivered me. Y'all have heard the story. See, even as a young Christian, saved 4 or 5 months, I mean, I had the mindset that God would deliver me from trouble. I done read the scripture. See, Satan, he don't want you to read the Bible. I read in there where it says, many are the afflictions, when I heard the church defeated with it. I opened my Bible up and it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And I mean, churches, they would say, amen, bless the Lord, amen. The Lord said, read the rest of it. And it says, but I will deliver them out of them all. And I thought, whoo, they're forgetting that one. I mean, it's in the same verse. But they identify with the trouble. They identify with being antisocial, Now Teresa has parties at the house. That's a miracle. I'm just telling you right now, that is amazing to me because I know where she come from personally. Now, she's one that, I mean, she would die for you. She's the kind of person she is. It's a ride or die, they call it. If I ever got in trouble, I'd want her with me. You know. And so, for God to do that, Matt, to have a party at her house, invading her space, she used to tell me when somebody would drive up, Matt, go get rid of them. They'd drive up at our house. She'd look at me, boy, you ever been under pressure? Let that happen. I mean, that's pressure. You just wished you wasn't there right then. You just wished you didn't hear that right then. Because you think, this is embarrassing. This is blah, 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 blah. So you go out there and say, hey, man, you're going to have to go. Come back a later time. We busy right now, I reckon. True story, Mac. She don't do that no more. If they pull up now, she might say, there's somebody out there. And I'd be like, go to the door. I'm sitting here in my boxers. Now she goes to the door and I just run to the bedroom with my boxers and I'm not getting dressed. Get rid of them. Proves out Galatians 6:7, don't it? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. And then we had to go through a phase to call 3 days ahead to come into our house. We want a reservation if you're coming to visit. Woo! She's made a man out of me, her and Jesus, Matt. You can temper yourself through that stuff. You can stay in a right spirit and you can come out smelling like a rose. But see, it's all in a mindset. But now she's, I'm telling you this because he brought her from one level of freedom to another. He used the church. He used unfavorable circumstances with people and then deals with our heart and shows it. And we wish we didn't say that. We wish we hadn't acted like that. And that's just part of Christianity. That's part of realizing the flesh, you know, and making choices to put it under. To put it under. And then you should have seen Richard. He slides, which when she told me to get some plastic, I knew it was going to be dangerous. I mean, we made a 100-foot slide down through there, Mac. And she gets tear-free soap and spreads it all over and then wants you to run and dive on the hard ground. Just dive and put it all over you, put a bag on. You know, and I told her, she said, we're going to have fun. I said, y'all are going to have fun. I said, I'm not participating in that. Well, Richard.
Come on, Richard. You're done.
Well, he's shark doo 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 doo. So shark doo doo. He's a few years on down the road, so I figure he's a perfect candidate. He got on the news with that shark doo doo stuff. Baby shark, whatever it is. That big old tube around him. News called him up. And then he goes down through there. Well, it's in the shade, and I picked up a black roll. I was going to get clear. Because you know how black, it just draws heat. That's what happened to his arm. He got out of the shade and down there, and he is like a cat in hot water, man. He turns up, he's trying to claw and get off of there. You'd have to see it. It was funny. You know? And then I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, help nobody get killed today. Teresa, she tells the grandkids, y'all want to live on the edge or you want to live safe? And I'm thinking, answer, safe.
Well, I said, you want to have fun.
Yeah.
Or you
want to
be bored, but fun can be a little dangerous.
Yeah. That's her. Praise God, hallelujah. It's fun being a Christian. Yeah, I mean, you need people different than you around you. Like Travis told me one time, he said, oh, Johnny, he's everything in line. I mean, I bet his sock drawer is just like that way, underwear, fold the same, certain. That's the way I imagined him. I don't know, man. You know, he likes things in order, tools, and I'm sure, and all, you know. And, man, I mean, church and garage doors, I'm pretty coordinated. I told Travis, that's why God put me around him so he can loosen up. I can help him with that. He might want to pattern after you, Johnny, in some things. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know what? See, Satan wants your mind not on the Lord. Unstable. And God wants you to be thinking like Jim. The Bible says, put on the mind of Christ. Let that mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. It said, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God? We're equal with God. Amen. Praise God. My mind is like that. I'm like, whoo. I told Mom one time, and I'll close with this. Don't want to keep y'all too long. No, we got to work tomorrow. I was reading there, and he told the prophet, he said, I'll give you everywhere your feet trod. And I thought, that's for us. We're the generations on down. But God. So I'd mess with Mom a little every now and then. She's gone now. But I told her one day, I said something about some land. Well, you can't have that. I said, I done went and walked that. I said, and the Bible said that the earth and everything is his, and everything that his I'm an heir to, I'm a joint heir to, and he'll give me everything that my feet trod on. I said, so I'll get it. Well, you just can't claim the whole world. I said, I can't walk on the whole world, man. I've got to stay here in Blount County. But you know what? I claimed this building. I claimed that other building. I walked around them. And I said, Lord, you put it on my heart to get it. And I know that I got it. Against all odds, whatever comes, hallelujah. And you know what? We've been enjoying this for 24 years. We've been enjoying that building. Well, Doris hadn't all the way, but she still enjoys it. Praise God. So, stabilize your mind. Keep it on the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, God will do things. I mean, he'll turn things around for you. We're never supposed to worry about nothing. I had some preachers one time that's talking about worried. And I said, I don't worry about nothing. I said, that's sin to me. and he said, well, Mr. Wesley, you got to worry about something. I said, not according to the Bible, I don't. I said, the Bible says, take no thought saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to wear? All of that. I said, nope. I said, that the Gentiles do that. I said, y'all worry and I'm going to rest. I don't worry. That's why I'm not white-headed. I believe that's why I'm not white-headed. I'm 59, nearly 60 years old. Sat on the porch the day before yesterday duties. He said, I'm almost 59. I said, I'm ahead of you. Well, that dude barely made it to the porch. I told Travis, I told him, I said, man, I done been up the ladder and took springs off, and I think I made him tired, and he went out there and sat down. I'm climbing up that ladder. I don't think I'm 59. The numbers say it, and the years just went by, but I'm not that on the inside. And so I told Travis when we left, I said, whoo. I said, man, I said, I'm in pretty good shape, 59 years old. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I don't think getting old, Mac. I think getting stronger as I get old. I picked up some things. I'm getting wrinkles. You know, your arms wrinkling. And I'm like, I'm in Marshalls or them kids, them grandkids have got me in Five Below now. But anyhow, I'm in there and I had some of them and I'm going. I'm like, yep, that'll build that up. That would build this up. Because this weren't wrinkled. And I lay it down on the couch, you know, it's wrinkled. Your skin's wrinkling up. I thought, this is garbage here, man. And so I'm fixing to have me two of them, but them wasn't strong enough because I mashed them. And I'm thinking, them ain't strong enough. So I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to build my muscles up and stretch that skin. I'm going to stretch that skin. And I'm not going Richard's route. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's bow our head. Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that we can have a sound, settled mind. Lord, we choose to put it on. Lord, we're born again, and you said put on the mind of Christ. And Father, I thank you for that tonight. I thank you, Lord, that nothing in this earth moves us. Nothing in it, around it, no demons, no lack, no anything is able to move our minds unless we choose to let it do it. And Father, I thank you tonight for the anointing that destroys those yokes and lifts those burdens, Father God, that we walk in. We have it. It's in us and it's on us, Lord. And I thank you, Father God. I thank you that your word has went out in my ears and it's doing what you sent it out to do, Lord. And I receive it tonight and we receive it tonight, Lord. And I thank you that signs, wonders, and miracles will follow this service, God. And we'll be sure to give you all of the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Anybody here tonight you want prayer before we dismiss? All right, let's stand to our feet. Let's give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah.